The secret to true friendship. Now, here's the key. You want true friendship, or do you just want to have friends? The secret to true friendship is for me to have a heart for God, and then for me to seek others who have a heart for God. Me to have a heart for God, and for me to seek others who have a heart for God. There's where true friendship will come from. It is the type of friend that will walk in where you are when the world has just walked out. It is the one who sticks closer than a brother, a true friend. But it must begin with a heart for God. Because if I am not connected to my Savior, to my Father in heaven, I will not remain connected to you or anyone else. It'll be a selfish connection. A lot of folks have a lot of selfish friends. A connection of friendship where you have a goal. You're wanting to get something out of someone. That's not true friendship. Because as soon as that selfish friendship begins, once you've acquired or attained, then you don't need to friend any longer. You've had friends like that. If you've lived very long, you've met people that way. But God says, listen to me. There is a secret to true friendship. And it's a secret that I have revealed to all of humanity. You know me, and then you connect yourself to others who know me. That's where true friendship begins. We have a true friend. Oh, he loves us. Our Father loves us. First of all, we need to look within our own heart. Do I have a heart for God? Where is my heart condition placed? Is my heart sick? Has my heart hardened? Where's my heart? Is my heart beating? I'm talking about your spiritual heart. God says, when you have a heart for me, I'll give strength to your spiritual heart. I'll give strength to you. Strength that you won't understand. It's going to come. Truth that I will give to you is the type of truth that I give to my friends. And Jesus says, and you are my friends if you do what my Father has called you to. You're my friends. I like being a friend of Jesus. He's not going to turn his back on me. Why, ever so often I say some things that are just a little on the edge. But do you know that Jesus never walks out on me? I'm still his friend. Yep, he belongs to me. And God says, I want you to pay attention to what kind of a friend my Son is to you. And then I want you to look at your, whether or not you reciprocate that friendship. Do you return that friendship? Do you give it back? Are you that kind of a friend to Jesus? When it calls you and tells you to do something, do you do it? Do you listen to his word? Do you accept his hugs? Do you look for the kind of friends that are a friend to Jesus? Doesn't take long for us to look at our own community during our own society and find out a lot of brokenness out here, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. Majority of it we bring on ourselves. Majority of the disasters that we have in our own life we've brought on ourselves through our own actions. When God touches your life, he says, I want you to know something. I'm a friend that'll always be there with you. Larry, I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Though all others will walk out on you, you may embarrass them. You may send those chills up and down their spine, but you'll always be my friend. What a friend. Well, Brother Randy, over there ought to be a song out there, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," don't you think? Wouldn't that sound great? Yeah, what a friend. Jesus says, when I'm your friend, you don't need to worry about enemies. When I'm your friend, I want you to know that I will always be where you are. Now you see, that's what makes us nervous. Jesus says, I will always be where you are. And then we get to thinking, where am I getting ready to go? Where have I been? And Jesus says, he was with me. What am I going to do about my life? Well, if I have a friend that I love, I will have a spiritual connection. Saul was the first king of Israel. Now, when God chose Saul to be king, he chose Saul to be king because the people demanded, they wanted a human king. They wanted a king that was human like all the other nations. And God warned them, you really don't want that. You have me. I fight your battles. I feed you. I take care of you. When you get a human king, he'll want you to pay him. He'll want taxes. He'll not do what you think he should do. And things are going to be like other nations. We want a king, okay? God says, here's your king. So he gave them Saul. Now Saul was a big fella. Right at 7 foot tall. The Israelis at that time, where you're talking about, most of them 5'10 to 6 foot tall. And the scripture says that he was a head and a shoulder above all the others. Good looking dude, the king was. The best looking in the land. Stood head and shoulders above all the rest. So about 7 foot tall, he comes walking. But then comes Goliath, the Philistine fighter, warrior. Goliath was 10 foot plus tall, 3 foot taller. And the scripture says that Saul was afraid. You know, I guess even if you're 7 foot tall, you come up into someone that's 10 foot tall, you're going to get a little nervous, right? Well, he did. But there was a boy out there by the name of David. David comes on the scene, and David sees Goliath. He goes against Goliath. He can't understand why the armies are so afraid of Goliath. He says, look, do we not serve God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should curse the living God? I'll go get him. 16 to 18 years old. I'll stand up to him. And he does. And he defeats Goliath. Well, Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan. And Jonathan was also a warrior who had beat the Philistines. But Jonathan looked at this young boy by the name of David, and he was so proud of him. Jonathan's the prince. He's the son of the king. And this David didn't go that king, didn't want his son getting hurt. But God had put into motion a friendship plan. A friendship plan that would make a pledge between two individuals that could not be broken by man or by army. They became warrior friends. Now you have to be in combat to know what I'm talking about. You've had to have been there. You will get a friendship that is molded and welded together. And after David killed Goliath, the scripture tells us quite a story of a friendship. Listen to it well. True friendship is soul friendship. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul, this is David, going out, coming back from fighting Goliath and killing him, that the soul of Jonathan was knit, chained, welded to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. That was a soul friendship. Jonathan is to be king, but there was such a friendship that had been bonded there, it could only have been made spiritually. Soul friendship. And they loved each other. Now Jonathan, David was about 18, Jonathan 10 years older. So you're talking about 28 years old, 30, somewhere around there, that much older. But the friendship knew no age. The bond could not be broken. And it was through that soul friendship that a new king was to be born. No, it wasn't going to be Jonathan. Although it was to be given to him. Do you know why? Jonathan refused to take it because he had a soul friendship with a fellow servant of the Most High God. Jonathan had a heart for God. David had a heart for God. And God had a plan for their life. And God had a world to bring to a saving knowledge of who His Son is. Jesus Christ, the ultimate of friends. Amen. That soul connection that was there from the cross that would bring all men unto Him. A soul connection. And He was giving us the story of that connection. And Jonathan and David. True friendship is a selfless friendship. Jonathan was to be king, but the Holy Spirit had a hold of him. The Holy Spirit had a hold of David. And I want you to listen to this. 1 Samuel 18, verses 3 and 4. This is a selfless friendship. Remember, I talked earlier about a selfish, being selfish. I am doing it for selfish reasons. I want to become, you would always pay attention during a political season. Man, every politician in the country goes to church. I'd love to have them during the, you know, rest of the year, but they all go to church during that time. That's selfish. Sort of phony, if you ask me. I don't care who they are. But God says all the time, I'm your all the time God. I'm your all the time friend. I'm going to be with you all the time. Now, I'm going to give to you, Larry. I'm not asking you to give to me anything. I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you my blood. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my protection. I'm going to give you all that I have. I want you to know I have an inheritance waiting for you, because that's the kind of friendship I have, and I love you. It's a soul connection. A soul friendship. And it's selfless. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Seemed like I may have read that somewhere, Brother Randy, else in the Bible. Love thy neighbor as thyself. To love as you care about yourself, then care about others. Jonathan, listen to this. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Now let me take you back to the battle with Goliath. Do you remember that King Saul told David to take his armor? David put it on, and David said, I can't even move in this stuff. It won't fit. Jonathan's armor fit. How tall were they? All 6'10", 7 foot themselves, both of them. They're grown now. Growing. This friendship is here now. Can't you imagine this young friendship that has evolved through that connection? Jonathan's armor fit. What did it represent? I think I even have it on the bulletin for you. The robe, the status as prince and future king. Armor, sword, and bow, the role of a commander-in-chief, and the belt of royalty. Jonathan said, here, take it. Before, David refused to take it. Now he's taking it. And then Jonathan said, by the way, when you're king, I want to be second in command. Well, it should have been reversed, but not on God's schedule. I recognize you are to be king, David. That's a selfless friendship. He wasn't looking for anything except for friendship because he loved him as he loved himself. I want you to be happy. Those of us who have children, or those of us who love kids like I do, always love to see the sparkle in the eyes of children. Always want to give them more. Well, you will work and you will earn. I don't know. I'm going to heaven and I did not work for any of it and I didn't earn a bit of it. I got an inheritance waiting for me that you can't imagine. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. It's a gift from God. I'm born again. I'm saved. Eternal life. And I did nothing to earn it. It was a gift from God to me. Because I say I believe. Larry, I love you. Won't you love me back? Yes, Lord. What do you want me to do? Love me back. Okay, I got that. What do you want me to do? Love me back. Oh, we have a hard time with that. Well, yep, but you know, Lord, if you tell me to do this and then I do that, then I feel like I sort of earned it. The right. Larry, you can't earn the right. It's a gift. Free gift. I give it to you. Oh, we have a horrible time with that. How many times you heard your pastor say, you got to work to go to hell? It's hard going to hell. There's so much love poured out by Christ. Every opportunity he gives us for eternal life, he sends preachers. He sends friends. He sends situations into our life that reflect who he is and his ultimate love for us. And too often we close our eyes to it. Have you ever noticed in your life that you wished that you'd paid more attention to some people before they left their body to go to eternity? Oh, I wished I had listened more. We never seem to be sharp enough, I guess it is, to just pay attention at the time, do we? We got a problem with that. I mean, it's hard getting anything through that skull, right? How many times you told your kid that one? Well, you got, wait till you have a 104-year-old mother, payback. It's hard getting anything through. Jesus says, I don't go through your head, Larry. I go straight to your heart. I gave you a heart that I penetrate. God knows how hard-brained we are, hard-headed. He also knows that special heart that he has given us. It's a connecting heart. It's a soul relationship, a soul friendship, a selfless friendship. I give you everything, Larry. But Lord, what do I give you back? Just love me, Larry. Do you know that God has never called me to do anything that he did not prepare me to do? Did you know that he never has ever put me in a situation, good or bad, where he allowed me to be there, that he didn't give me a way out? And in that way out, he always says, I'm the way. I'm your truth. I am your life. Oh, by the way, Larry, you tell them, no one will see the Father unless they come through me. I'm the door. What a friend I have in Jesus. He loves me like I am. He puts up with me. That ain't easy, people. I expected that from my wife, Brother Randy. That ain't easy. But God says, I love you all the way to the depth of who I am. Now, you picture that. God loves me to the depth of His heart. And He loves me to the depth of my heart, my whole being. Why do I worry about what man's going to do to me? What somebody's going to say to me? I have no Jesus. I got a friend in Jesus. Jesus happens to be the Son of the living God. I'm family. Well, I guess you're proud of that. You better believe I'm proud of that. I'm so proud to be called a Christian. I refuse to hide the fact that Jesus is the only way. Because it's the only hope that the world has is to hear the truth of who Jesus is. And if Jesus thinks you're so special that He gives you that touch, don't you think we ought to be friends enough to share love? I mean, if you're not going to share the love of Christ with your worldly friends, what are you going to give them? Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. He truly does. Here's a key to true friendship is quality friendship, not quantity friendship. Oh, I got 100 friends. No, you don't. No, you don't. Wait till the money runs out. No, you don't. Wait till you really are hurting and you're not as attractive. You're not as handsome. You're not as appealing. I used to be their friend. Yeah, I guess I just have drawn away. Do you know Jesus loves me? I'd be swiveled up like a prune, and Jesus said, that's my prune. Larry Pete, I love you. I love you. Same love, same God. That is true friendship, and it's quality friendship. What did he say again? He loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of all his royalty and gave it to the friend he loved. And God put the stamp of approval on the two of them. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I can't come to ruin. I know that now. I can't come to ruin because I got a friend in Jesus. I can't be ruined. I may be broke. I may be walking the streets. But you know, I also remember my Lord saying that I would never see one of His children begging bread. I'll always see to it you're taken care of. Why would I not think that my Savior would not take care of me? But what if you die out there in poverty? That ain't bad. What are you talking about, people? When I'm dead, my body's in poverty. I'm not taking anything I have here on earth with me. And I got news for you. You're not either. I'll let the kids fight over it. You ain't taking it. But one thing I will take, the same friend that I've got right now. I got a friend in Jesus. He is so connected to me. I may have nothing worldly when I leave this world, but I'll see you all later. And we'll have supper together. Big table, Randy. Oh, I can pick it. Big table, Brother Randy. And you'll meet your true friends. Those who have a heart for God that had connected to you because you had a heart for God. That's true friendship. Friendship with the world, the word says, is enmity to God. Friendship to the world is being an enemy to God. Yeah, world doesn't offer me anything. And the world can't take it away because it's given by God. Do you have that? Billy Graham knew it. Condemned for the way he preached. Condemned for the people he took the message to. For what so many forgot was this. Wasn't his message. Wasn't his ministry. It was the God who stuck closer than a brother and said, "You go." And he said, "I'll go." Why did he go? Because he loved Jesus. Talked about him all the time. Do you love Jesus? Jesus loves you. And he loves you just like you are. And Brother Randy, it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you. We lift our praise to you. We lift all that we are, all we ever hope to be, we lift it to you. We lift our children, our grandchildren. We lift our families to you, Father. For I realize that without your direction, there is no protection. The route that each will travel will be the wrong route. But in your guidance, Heavenly Father, you'll put the wayward back on the right path. You'll give strength to those who are beaten down, and victory to those who have that heart love and heart association with you. Thank you, Father, for sending such a friend as your Son, that we might truly feel what friendship, real friendship, is all about. Touch our lives now, we pray. In Jesus' name, as we make commitments to Him and for Him. For we truly do ask and beg it in that precious name. Amen.